The October meeting of the Morro Bay Public Works Advisory Board will please come to order. Let the record show that all members are present or accounted for. Two members, June Christoph Jones and Richard Rutherford, are officially excused.
No, Richard Rutherford's here.
John Zwemer.
Oh, John Zwemer, pardon me. Richard Rutherford. Richard is here. We'll have a moment of silence. Do we have an acceptance of the agenda? Anyone object to anything? All in favor?
Aye.
Are there any announcements?
Yes, I have two announcements. The first one, there are two events coming up that are going to benefit the Morro Bay Community Foundation, which provides scholarships, recreational opportunities, and other activities through the Parks and Recreation for the children of Morro Bay, Los Osos, and Cayucas. And we have on Saturday, please come out to the rescue challenge between the Morro Bay Fire Department and the Coast Guard. They're going to have a raft. All of the proceeds will go to the Morro Bay Community Foundation, which is sorely needing as much support as possible now. And then on the night of November 14th, there's going to be an event here in Morro Bay that should be a lot of fun, and it's called Morro Bay Sings Joni. And we're having a tribute to Joni Mitchell, and we're having various artists who will sing songs of Joni Mitchell. There will be homemade soup provided by the Galley Restaurant, and there's wine and coffee and all that. And all of those proceeds.
It's free of charge. However, we do have a potluck dinner, so if you can bring something to share with everyone, that's most appreciated. And the speakers will begin around 5:30 or so. Thanks for your interest. If you have questions, please call me at 234-7279. That's the Morro Bay Historical Society. 234-7279 for questions, or just show on up Sunday, November 1st, 5 p.m. Thank you.
Announcements? Do we have any written communications? Okay, the next is the public comment period with presentations. The bike committee, I understand, is making a presentation.
Do you want to do a presentation before public comment?
It's yours.
Okay.
Good evening. My name is Robert Davis. I live in Morro Bay. And I wanted to come before you tonight and talk to you a little bit about the Citizens Bike Committee, what it is and what we do and how it was formed. We have a mission. The Morro Bay Citizens Bike Committee is dedicated to the creation of an efficient, interconnected network of safe, scenic bikeways and community paths in the Morro Bay area. And community paths includes pedestrian walkways as well. City Council established a reporting relationship between the Citizens Bike Committee and the Recreation and Parks Commission on April 9th of 2001 by directing staff to agendize a quarterly report by the Bike Committee to the Commission and the Commission to make recommendations to Council regarding public pathways. So we do that. The committee has also formed a partnership with Morro Bay Beautiful to pursue the accomplishment of projects that support the mission of the committee and of Morro Bay Beautiful. The committee meets about once a quarter to discuss current topics related to bikeways and community paths. We present an annual list of unmet bike needs to City Council and to San Luis Obispo Council of Governments, and we advocate for meeting those needs. In January, we presented the following as unmet bike needs in the Morro Bay area. Class 2 bike lanes on North Main Street from Atascadero Road to Yerba Buena Street. A Class 1 multi-use trail that proceeds north from the terminus of the New Harbor Walk, crosses Morro Creek, and proceeds along Morro Strand west of the high school to connect to the existing Class 1 bike lane in the Cloisters. A Class 1 multi-use trail from Morro Bay to Cayucas. A resurfacing of lower Morro Bay State Park Road. And also a Class 1 bike trail through the state park that parallels Lower Park Road from Main Street all the way around to South Bay Boulevard. We also advocate for a bikeway through the power plant property connecting North Main Street to the Embarcadero. We are asking Caltrans to widen Toro Creek Bridge across Highway 1 north of Morro Bay on the northbound side to provide a bike lane. We also support a Class 1 bike trail from Cal Poly to Morro Bay that will go through Cuesta College. And we're currently working with Mr. Livick as he is updating the city's bicycle transportation plan. Do you want to ask me questions or...
Questions?
Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other persons wish to address the board?
Yes.
Please state your name.
My name is Nick Mendoza, and I live here in Morro Bay, and I have a business on North Main Street. And I just like to mention that the parking that we have on our street parking we have now currently is very important to our business. This issue kind of came up a few years ago about putting a bike lane there, and a lot of the businesses on that street, North Marshall, for everyone. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Good evening. I'm Nancy Johnson, a resident of Morro Bay and a member of the Citizens Bike Committee. And I certainly appreciate the needs of the businesses, especially on North Main Street. It gets a little quiet up that way sometimes. We also, though, appreciate the need for better bike lanes or areas for people to ride up there. There are a lot of people, and people who use their bikes to get back and forth to work going up North Main. We had some of the members of the bicycle committee out doing a survey when this came up before. And also students use that, younger students and older students. And as I remember, I think I was on PWEB when this came up many years ago, and Frank Cunningham was our city engineer at that time, and I think he had some really good ideas about what he called bulb ends, so that the sidewalk came in or along the street there, and there was still parking, yet the bike lane could go along the street. So I just would encourage Rob Levick or anybody who's looking at this to go ahead and look at options along North Main Street. Thank you for your time.
I have a question.
For me?
Yeah.
Oh, all right.
Are there any bike boulevards in North Morro Bay, like a street that's known as a bike boulevard, like Greenwood?
No, we don't have any designated suggested routes for bicycles. In our bike plan, we do have improvements that both in our bike and our general plan that for Class 2 bike path on North Main, along with improvements to our collector streets up there, Ironwood, Greenwood, as you know, pedestrian pathways.
So has it been discussed, and just it was discussed and decided that that's not a good idea? And the idea of a bike boulevard is a street that has car traffic but is also designated as a bike thoroughfare, and it's understood that bikes are in the middle of the lanes like a car would be, and there's bicycle painted right in the middle of the lane, and you see them. There's some bike boulevards in San Luis Obispo.
There's one bike boulevard in San Luis Obispo, Moro. Mm-hmm. I'd like to talk with the transportation planner there to see how it's been working since they've had it open for a couple of years now. I know there were some problems when it first opened with confusion and the vehicle code, and the cars take the main lane, and bikes weren't yielding the right-of-way.
And then one other quick question. I can't believe I still feel new to California, having lived here 6 years. But is it that bikes are legally allowed to ride in the middle of the street? I know in certain states, but they are required to yield, but they are allowed to ride down the middle of the, not the middle of the street, but, you know, the middle of the lane.
Bicyclists need to follow the California Vehicle Code. They're a vehicle just like a car is, and they need to follow the rules of the road. Typically, slower traffic yields to the right. Maybe Bob can fill in where I've blundered through this.
The vehicle code says that bicycles can take over the lane when the lane is so narrow that it would be unsafe for a car to pass if the bicycle were as far to the right as it could go, where it would set up a situation that a bike is as far to the right as it could go, but a car that tries to pass would either encroach in the other lane or sideswipe the bicycle. The vehicle code says that the bicycle should move into the center of the lane and prevent cars from passing during that narrow passage. Also, bicycles are allowed to ride in the middle of the lane when they are riding at the same speed as vehicles. So if you can do 25 and 25, you can take the lane.
All right, thank you. Thanks. And you're going to ask about Moro in San Luis?
Yeah, I'll find out more about the bicycle boulevard.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Thanks. And well, I had a question,
just
too.
A second, please. A discussion of the bike problems are not on the agenda. So I
know this, but the fine line on the Brown Act stuff is going to be really much. How are you?
Excuse me, I wanted to give my card to Mr. Mendoza before he walked out so we can connect on the business and parking issues. Probably one of the more important things is we're in the water conservation period, and I think everybody's received information on that, and there's more information on the city's website. So hope everybody is heeding that advice and warnings.
That's the 100-page.
No, the water conservation status that we're limiting outdoor water usage, odd even water days. Yes.
Real quick though, Rob, could you I know we got a mailing citywide, but for those people who do not have internet access or find it difficult to negotiate that, could you briefly go over the time period? Like, I think it's 3 weeks, yes? Or 2 to 3 weeks?
Excuse me for just a second. Currently, it's from October 19th through November 14th, but it may extend to the 21st, depending on the schedule of the state water shutdown. Some of the more important things are odd-even water days, no hosing and washing of outdoor hardscape, no hosing off your driveway, that sort of thing, washing car with only a bucket. What's that? Boat washing. Thank you, Matt. Yeah. You can flush the motors, but no hosing the boat off with fresh water.
Could I make a comment on that?
Sure.
On water conservation? Yes, it would be. I know the other day, on the 19th, when the water shutdown started, I heard, and it had rained, and I heard sprinklers going off, and it just... You know, it wasn't mine. I had mine off. But just remind everyone to turn their sprinklers off when it rains. If you can run out and do that, it would be another way to save water.
Thank you. Again, on bicycle issues, we do have a grad student working on updating our transportation bike plan, and we're hoping to bring that not at the October meeting, but at the November meeting. We traded grad students, a planning grad student for an engineering grad student's intern, so there's been some transition there. With the recent rains, city street crews were cleanup of branches. No major trees down that I heard of. I noticed on the fire department there was one report of a house being flooded. I'm not sure where that was. There were some power lines down, but for as much wind and rain there was, I was pleasantly surprised at the... at the lack of damage. And then on the stormwater front, we're working with the Regional Water Quality Board staff on modifying our stormwater plan and eliminating some of the redundant and ineffective BMPs. An example of one of the ineffective BMPs would be they had us delivering house mailers to the household 20% each year. We had no way to really decide which 20% would go or to track that at a reasonable cost. So we mailed out 100% the first year. So we're hoping to do that, modify that BMP so that we do 100% every 3 to 5 years rather than 20% a year. BMP would be a best management practice for stormwater. Sorry about that. For stormwater.
To buy bottled water for their drinking and food needs, but they don't otherwise. So that's therefore... Because we know the state water is such high quality that nobody's concerned about that. People aren't concerned about that. But they are once the state water is shut down. So that's why they like to know.
Our water meets the requirements of the health department.
We know. There's legal requirements. They're met. We know that. But people... have their preference, though. Anyway, okay.
So, okay, well, that's just kind of a safety buffer, then, and I understand
yes.
what you're saying. And next thing, I have a question about the lift stations.
Okay.
And I think it was number 3 is the one on the bottom of Quintana?
Correct.
And can you, are they working on that right now? What do you know anything about the prognosis and what we're looking at?
They're working on repairs to that lift station. I believe they've replaced a pump there. The design is near complete. I think they're going with lift station, probably lift station 2. Let that out to contract first. That's down on the Embarcadero. That has it's kind of a tight race between which one needs to be replaced first. So I think they're going to try to replace 3 or lift station 2 first and then move on to lift station 3. I'm not 100% sure what the timing on that, when they would let those contracts out. Probably sometime in the spring is when I anticipate that they would go to work on those lift stations.
You know, the only reason I ask is because last winter with rains, I know we were having problems with number 3, and I know number 2 has been, we've talked about them upgrading that. And so when the crews are out assessing, as it's talking about in the director's report, is that what, because I saw some guys working at lift station 1, I think, today.
Lift station 1 up in the Cloisters area, yeah.
So this is the working on reviewing sections for necessary repair.
Yes, exactly. Okay. And lift station 3 has had some modifications to it, so if there is a problem with it, they can bypass that lift station easier with a pumping truck. They put some additional piping in the ground there so that it's easier to work on. Mm-hmm. When they do need to work on that lift station. The problem with the lift station is that they're generally at the lower points in your system, which are easy to drain to the adjacent waters, so the bay, basically.
I have another question about trees. During this last, how many trees did we lose around Morro Bay in this last windstorm?
I don't think we lost any. No, no complete trees went down. A lot of broken limbs hanging up in the trees, but we didn't have to remove any, or the wind didn't remove any trees, and the city, there were no trees that fell over. We do have, we're working, developing a contract for some major pruning work on some trees that have needed some work in a while that are around town. So we're developing that list, and that'll go out to bid. There are a couple removals. One is at, that I know of, is at Piney and Marina next to that Victorian house. That one's been trimmed to the point where there's almost nothing left. Of it, keeps losing branches every winter. It's the needles are starting to get brown on it, and so that's a pretty significant tree. Probably want to have that one removed before it comes down on its own out of control. So, and like I said, because it lost the top out of it last year, there's really not a whole lot of tree left there.
And likewise, are we planning on planting? We take one down, get it out of there, and does it go to the tree subcommittee, or does the city automatically go back in there? And
the city at this point in time doesn't automatically go back in there and plant a tree. We need to probably work closer on that procedure on how that actually happens. One of the problems is the maintenance of that tree for the first couple of years. If we were to plant a tree there, we don't have the resources, manpower resources, to go and water these trees.
Wasn't that part of the part of the tree subcommittee's mandate, was to help along with that?
I think they're working with Morro Bay Beautiful on this Adopt-a-Tree program that will help assist the city in the replanting.
Left, you know, pine trees. So, thank you.
I noticed that where the stumps, the cut-off stumps of some of the old big pine trees that have been cut down, a lot of those now are sprouting new trees, starting to grow out of those.
Yeah.
I noticed these. Are we going to let those grow and to replace themselves?
There's not really an organized plan for that, to take care of those volunteers.
Because if they, if now I'm not sure if that's the way they that they do replace themselves effectively or not. But if they do, we should do something about keeping them that way so somebody doesn't cut them off.
Yeah, you know? Probably need to talk with somebody that has a little bit more tree expertise than I do to see if that's really a viable way to have a good tree there.
Yes, one thing the tree committee is trying to do also is we're going to try a public outreach, and these are things that we could look toward in the tree committee too, and have a booth at the farmers market, things like that. So we're in the beginning stages of revitalizing the tree committee, I think, for Morro Bay, but we really are in favor of developing our urban forest.
Any other anything else regarding the director's report? If not, we'll proceed. Now we go to new business, and the first item is the Quintana at South Bay traffic or safety issues there. And
Rob is going to pass out a memorandum that I was unable to get until Monday. This has been of special interest to me because I live in the Lou Heron Mobile Home Park, and we look down on the Quintana South Bay intersection, and there's a lot of near misses down there quite often. The speed limit doesn't seem to be, it's posted. I made two trips up and down South Bay to see what the signage says. When you're coming off the freeway, it says, as after you get off, you see a sign there, but it's unobtrusive. It's yellow, and it says the intersection has a 30 mile an hour speed limit. But you look right across the road, and it says 40 miles. You go on down that road south, and there's three more signs that say 40 miles per hour. You get down to the trailhead, it changes to 50, and then it goes to 55, and it remains up through two stoplights and through a school zone area until you get to Los Osos Parkway. Coming the other way, I decided to see what it said. When you come off at Los Osos Parkway, it says 55 miles per hour, and there's one more sign. Then you have the school zone area, only if children are present. And then you have the two stop signs, and then you go on south, on north. So you get up almost a trailhead. There's a sign there that says 50 miles per hour, and then it goes to 40 at trailhead. Then there's, I think, one more sign that says 40 miles per hour. And then you come on around, and again, there's another sign, but it's yellow, and it says 30 miles an hour in the intersection at Quintana. Unfortunately, it's very unobtrusive going both ways. In fact, until it was pointed out to me, I didn't even know we had that sign there. So I've written down the information of what I have on the thing, and I made some possible solutions. I might add there was another one that was offered to me, but I didn't put it on here. It didn't seem appropriate. Number one would be to install a four-way stop sign. And I talked to Rob about this, and that doesn't seem to be able to be possible. Place a radar indicator sign on South Bay Boulevard, south and north of the Quintana intersection. That seems to help. I notice when you get down into Los Osos, they have a radar sign there that shows the speed you're going. And I don't know about anybody else, but it certainly affects my speed. I would replace the intersection signs with regular speed limit signs. The yellow signs are unobtrusive, and I've asked other people if they've seen them, and they've said no. So that, or I thought if we put a flashing light on the intersection signs to draw attention to the intersection. My neighbor tells me that there's been 5 automobile accidents at that intersection since the beginning of the summer. And I know there's a lot of number of misses. And there's also the problem that people don't slow down. They go right on through that area about 50 miles an hour. I don't have a way of clocking them, but I'd say there's no notable reduction, especially from the other direction. It's not that bad, but you have a blind corner coming from the south. When you're trying to get out onto Quintana, either to cross or to turn right. It's almost a blind corner until you get out into the intersection, just ways so that, and there's a lot of traffic that goes through there. By the way, Matt, I used your format on this, which worked out very well. Thank you.
But what can be done here, Rob?
Maybe I can just give a little bit more information about that South Bay and Quintana there. The speed limit on South Bay Boulevard, the regulatory speed limit is 40 miles an hour based on a radar speed survey. The radar survey, we're looking at, we have to follow the California Vehicle Code when we set speed limits, which require us to follow the California Manual on Traffic Control Devices, or the MUTCD, as we like to call it when I'm wearing my traffic engineer hat. It requires that we set the speed at the 85th percentile of the cars traveling, that with some limited allowances to reduce it based on site conditions. So we can reduce the 85th percentile speed by 5 miles an hour. The 85th percentile speed was 45 miles an hour through that stretch. We reduced that speed to 40 miles an hour. The yellow signs are advisory signs, not regulatory signs. So they don't get enforced like a speed limit sign does. They're just advising somebody, there's an intersection coming up, you should slow down there. But we can't issue tickets based on those unless somebody is driving. There's the basic speed law, too safe for conditions, which would be foggy, wet pavement. So police would issue citations then. Quickly this afternoon, I was, or this morning, I looked at the sight distance at that intersection. Coming, I guess it would be eastbound on Quintana, southeastbound from kind of the town towards South Bay Boulevard and down the hill. If you were to stop at that intersection and you were to look to the right, you would have about 590 feet of, you can see about 590 feet there. Looking the other direction towards the freeway ramp, it's a little bit less. You're in the 425 to 450 range. I need to get out there with a survey instrument to actually get that exact distance. The California Design Manual, for highway design manual, states that you need about 440 feet for 40 miles an hour. So that stopping sight distance, what that means is if you were to pull out into traffic, that person that's 440 feet away has seven and a half seconds to stop, which is gives you some reaction time and some braking time. So most people view it the other way, that if you see somebody there, you have some time to, that's really how it works, is if you can see that far, you can pull out. The problem is there's not just one car coming at a time. There's multiple cars coming from both directions. So there aren't gaps being created. And the gaps are what you need to get out. In 2005, for the track 2739, the I think it's the Black Hills subdivision that's proposed there that is working its way through the process. In fact, they just resubmitted some information to the city and is looking to move forward for construction. They were conditioned by city council to install a traffic signal at that location. Their traffic study says a traffic signal is an unwarranted device there, that there's not enough traffic there to warrant using the traffic engineer's rules that we have to follow, the amount of trips generated. But city council imposed that condition on the project, and at this point in time, to construct it, they would have to install a traffic signal at that location. At Quintana and South Bay Boulevard. Yeah, they would install a traffic signal at that intersection at Quintana and South Bay Boulevard.
So that's the only way we could get a... Because I thought I'd heard it said here at this meeting before that it wasn't... That it was Caltrans that didn't want a stoplight there because it would slow down traffic on the...
There. But the... Using the... what us engineers like to refer to all the regulations and guidelines and statistical information, there's not enough volume coming out of Quintana to justify the installation of a traffic control device.
So what you're saying is that under the circumstances and the current law, we can't do anything about it unless Comer builds his houses there. Then when he gets to build his houses there, which he probably won't do until the economy changes, but then we'll have a signal.
Then they're required to install a signal with the development of those houses.
Well, I don't think that satisfies the people there very much.
A four-way stop sign there would probably be violated on a regular basis. Because what happens, this is people's behavior, when you never see somebody at that cross stopping, you tend to roll through that stop sign. It gets violated. Unwarranted traffic stop signs don't hold up in court, and people get sued over them when there's an accident.
I have a question. I don't know about the five accidents that have happened there since the summer, but I do know that people tend to, traveling eastbound on South Bay Boulevard towards the highway on-ramps, pass on the right if there's a car stopped to make a left turn onto Quintana. Is passing on the right there legal? And if it's not, there might be a sign saying don't pass on the right. Or is there a way to widen and put an actual left-hand turn lane there? I don't know if that's contributed at all to the accidents, but it's just a thought.
That is, I believe, one of the mitigation measures for the project is to modify that intersection. There's some right-of-way constraints there. We don't have sufficient right-of-way to get everything that we need in there. And we need to acquire right-of-way from the adjoining property owners to do that construction. Also, you know, traffic signals are very expensive devices, so that's another reason that plays into it why they don't get just put in without a lot of thought and study.
So, Richard, this is a really good little write-up here. And so, Rob, taking the suggestions that Richard has brought, can we pass these along to the traffic safety committee that you're on and then perhaps consider or talk about at the ask the traffic safety board to consider maybe a blinking light there? Because that wouldn't necessarily take a recommendation like that to the board, because if you have that sign coming going southeast from the highway towards Los Osos, some sort of blinking light there and blinking light, a sign like a traffic sign, the ones that are whatever shape the signs are with a light around it saying, you know, 40 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour, 40 miles an hour.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best of the solutions
until this construction has come about, and if they get a traffic signal there. But in the interim, there needs to be a solution. We've had a lot of accidents, and that wouldn't be a lot of money out of pocket.
No, that is probably the easiest and most justifiable of the solutions is the that would be number four. Of the possible solutions would be install that blinking light that would highlight that intersection there, that would be blinking above the cross sign that would occur there. Another sign that I've seen used is cross traffic ahead. There's some warning signs that we could use to make that intersection more obvious. We're very reluctant to put stops and traffic signals where they're not warranted.
Is there a slowdown sign?
Not when the speed limit's 40 miles an hour, when the regulatory speed limit's 40 miles an hour. That's what these warning signs are all about, is saying slow down without saying slow down. Those are the types of solutions that I think we should look at, and I know this project has started to gain momentum again to go to construction. They've made a recent submittal with revisions based on their Coastal Commission requirements. So we're hoping that that moves forward, although I think they are very reluctant to install a signal there. We may have a hard time getting a registered engineer to design a signal there when it doesn't meet warrants.
So you're saying that item four there is the only practical thing that we can do?
I don't know if it's the only practical thing. You know, I'd like to spend some more time on it and look at other...
When you're looking north, and the signs that, you know, are non-regulatory really are unobtrusive. I lived there several months before I even realized there was such a sign, and that I don't consider myself unobservant.
Well, I know this has been a concern of the residents down there for a long time. So, Richard, why don't you make up a resolution or a motion? I mean, consisting of what we. It's logical to do about it, and we'll send that on.
Okay. Would this be acceptable? Would I accept put there?
Would that
I move that we refer this item to the city council.
Or do you want to send the entire memorandum on as a
I'm sorry.
To the traffic safety committee.
Would it be acceptable to send the whole memorandum to the city traffic a committee so they could see there is a concern?
I think that would be, you know, your decision as a board to send on, but I think it would be appropriate to send on the entire, forward on the entire memorandum. It gets, you know, kind of all your issues out there and some of the possible solutions that you've thought of.
As long as that's appropriate, why don't we do it?
Okay. I did make two trips up and down that section of road from Los Osos all the way back and looked at it, trying to be observant to see where the signs were and so on. And it seemed to me that what I came up with is that the intersection is unobtrusive and you don't see it. And so if you're coming from the south, you've already come off to a road that says 55 miles an hour, then it does change to 40. But it seems like that's in the Morro Bay city jurisdiction. On the other part, it's not there.
Rob, can Richard also ask, and we make a motion that the recommendations be considered by the Traffic Safety Board, but also can we request of the Traffic Safety Board that we are reported back to about what the recommendations are?
Yeah, that'd be great to make that and make that part of your motion to actually at the next Public Works Advisory Board after the Traffic Safety Committee that I report that back to you.
I'd like to incorporate that in my motion.
Could you, for the purpose of the minutes, could you kind of summarize your motion?
Summarize that motion, yes.
Okay.
Tell me what you want.
I would like to see that the memorandum is referred to the City Traffic Safety Committee for their perusal, and then if you would report back what came out of that, it would be appreciated.
I second that.
Any further discussion? No. You have the motion, okay? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Passed.
Thank you.
Okay, the next item is the brought up by Jenny Brantley, electronic changeable message boards. You want to give us your verbal report on that?
The idea is to install an electronic billboard sign, ticker tape, like they have over in Los Osos, on the corner of Los Osos Valley Road and South Bay Boulevard, speaking of South Bay Boulevard. If you've been to Los Osos, you've seen this sign. It stands about 3 feet off the ground. It's got two lines of digitalized electronic light bulbs that announce activities that are happening around the community. They announce stuff in Morro Bay. They announce stuff in Los Osos. And community members can contact the Rotary, the Los Osos Rotary paid for and installed the sign. But today, I'm here to ask the Public Works Advisory Board, my fellow board members, and Rob, if you could think of just brainstorming ideas of where this sign might potentially be installed if it were to, I think the location would be the first thing to kind of come up with before this project could go forward. So I'm looking for ideas of where this sign would be best situated. I have some ideas.
I'll tell you
my ideas. One is at the intersection of Quintana and Main, where there is the one stoplight in town. There's a development on the side of the hill there, Sundance. Anyway, that's possibly a place. The off-ramp of Highway 1 northbound. As you come off of Highway 1, Morro Bay Boulevard exit, it loops around. I don't know if that's our jurisdiction or Caltrans. Okay, never mind.
Drive-by, how about right in front of Morro Bay, the big rock in front of the Morro Bay Coffee Company? I don't think that's Caltrans' jurisdiction where the rock is.
Morro Bay what?
It's on top of Morro Bay Boulevard and
Quintana. It's where Morro Bay Boulevard and Quintana intersect.
Kind of meet.
The roundabout.
It's right before the roundabout where the big rock is. And so that piece of property there where the rock is, that's not Caltrans right away, is it? And if it is, that's just a suggestion.
Thanks.
There's a lot going on at the roundabout area to put sign that you need to read.
How is it? Can it be powered by solar? What powers this, and how much does it cost? I know you're not asking for that.
Yeah, that's not some. Are you? I guess I want to know why you're asking. Like how much the cost, or just is it a solar sign, or is it a?
Yeah.
Do we need a? I guess I'm wondering. Is it whether or not we need electrical?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I was wondering if you would have electrical outlets or what are the power to power it. That's why I asked.
Yeah, I don't know. I think some of that will be determined by the location.
Another suggestion is at the catacorner of Morro Bay City Park, Morro Bay Boulevard, and Harbor Street, right there. That's the city park, and right there used to be a giant tree there, and there's no longer a giant tree there. That would be another suggestion. That gets a lot of drive-by traffic.
Like that. Great. Any other suggestions?
Well, I'm kind of thinking where people have a chance to look at it without getting involved in a traffic accident. And I would think maybe the end of the west end of Morro Bay Boulevard there, at the top of the stairway some way, where people have a chance to see it. A lot of them, there's a lot of foot traffic there too, you know. And they aren't watching traffic at that when they're on their foot there, you know.
Any other suggestions?
You'd already brought up Main and Morro Bay Boulevard, right by Pizza Port.
Yes. Since we have Rob here, I will just ask Rob if the locations at City Park or at the intersection of Morro Bay Boulevard and Main Street, maybe by Pizza Port, if either of those locations, if you foresee a problem with either of those locations from the public works perspective.
I know any of these changeable message boards are, they are a distraction to the driver. For example, where the one is placed in Los Osos Valley Road and South Bay Boulevard, you're stopped there for some length of time without a whole lot of other things to look at while the traffic signal is red. That seems like, if you're going to have it in traffic, kind of an ideal spot for it. I don't think any of these are particularly. I mean, I've studied this issue enough to really say one way or the other. The park area, I think, on face value looks like a good spot there. not a whole lot going on. You're traveling down the boulevard, not a whole lot of turn decisions to make. That might be one to investigate. Maine and Morro Bay Boulevard seems there's more decisions to make, more going on there with businesses. The top of the Centennial Stairway seems like, I mean, there's not a whole lot going on as far as decisions to be made, traffic decisions to be made there. Maybe not as much vehicular traffic there either, because it's not going down to the Embarcadero at that point. But you do get a lot of foot traffic there.
Well, you know the old rule in the advertising business on outdoor boards, it has to read in a half second or it's a failure. Because in the open highway, somebody's going by at speed, so therefore they can't sit and look at it. And in the city, they're dodging, they're watching traffic. So in any way, wherever it is, you still have to read it, be able to read it in a half second, or their message is lost, your money is wasted. And this thing has more on it, so you're not going to read it in a half second. So it should be like, that's why I favor that position at the end of, at the top of the stairway at the end of Morro Bay Boulevard, because there people have a chance to read it.
Rob, if it were going to be at City Park, is that something to take to the Parks and Recreation Department, or who do I speak to about that location?
I think Parks and Recreation would be a good, and their board. Also, Promotions Committee would be another board.
Water program update and the bike plan update. Both of these are, what, next month?
We're going to attempt to bring these to you next month. The stormwater plan is dependent on Regional Water Quality Control Board staff getting back to us with some comments on what our proposed changes are. So if they're not going to accept any of them, we'll keep our existing stormwater plan. But it still might be a good time to bring an update back to this board and see where we are in the process. Bike plan update, I'm still shooting for next month to bring that forward. I'd like to...
You're not sure. You're not sure you'll have it.
I'm not sure I'll have it. We'll have it in a form. It may not be a completed draft, but I would rather get it to you sooner rather than later in the process so that the public has a chance to review it, take a look at it, provide any input. That's important in getting approved bike plans is that public participation with them.
So somebody like Nick Mendoza and his fellow merchants down there would want some input in it. So when will they have that chance?
Like I said, we're hoping for the November meeting, but they're probably more concerned about the actual project that we have funded through ERA, and I will be meeting with those business owners in the intervening month, probably one-on-one. You may see me walking North Morro Bay going door-to-door. We'll see what we can get you as far as the bike plan update in November. It may not be a completed bike plan at that point, but we'll have some exhibits and the regulatory setting done and some proposed bike routes in it.
Okay, do we have any other ideas for future agenda items? My ears are being blind, deafened here, No suggestions, okay? If that's the case, we stand adjourned.